Dear friends, I'm happy to be together with you and to address once again the theme of the 144,000 we saw last time and have started to identify. Today, we'll gather more information from the Word of God. May I propose we read a parallel text found in the book of Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 9, as from verse 1?
Ézéchiel 9, verset 1er.
Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's ink horn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's ink horn at his side, and the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others, he said in my hearing, Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have any pity. The text we have just read is something of a replica of the text of Revelation chapter 7, where we see men who are sealed. In this context, we do indeed learn interesting things. First of all, we learn that a man is amidst those who destroy, and the one who will seal the servants of God is a man clothed with linen. In fact, a man clothed with linen is a valuable indication, for we find the same character in the book of Daniel. I invite you to read it with me, the book of Daniel, the prophet, chapter 10, verse 5. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. Another interesting factor is that we'll find the same character in Daniel chapter 12, verse 6, which is part of the same vision that begins in chapter 10. Daniel chapter 12, verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Obviously, the person being addressed, who is clothed with linen, is an important figure. He knows, while other celestial characters do not know. And if we go back to chapter 10, that is the beginning of the same vision of Daniel, we see that this character is called Michael. Michael is Jesus. His name alone is evocative. Michael comes from three Hebrew words meaning who like God. Moreover, it is a question, who is like God? This is somehow a response to the prerogatives of Satan, who says, I will be like the Most High. Jesus' answer is not to put on the basis of equality with him, but he says, Who is like God? Each time this name, Michael, appears in the Bible, And it appears only three times in the book of Daniel, in the epistle of Jude, and also in the book of Revelation chapter 12. We'll see that later. Well, in each case, Jesus has a direct confrontation with Satan. Thus, Michael is his battle name each time he faces Satan. The other interesting information in this description is that the man clothed with linen is the high priest. The high priest wore a ceremonial robe when ministering every day. But on the Day of Atonement, the Yom Kippur, he wore the simplest possible clothing. It was a garment in linen. So, in this text, the priest, the high priest, Jesus, is dressed like on the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was the time of judgment. It was a time when the people who had not humbled their soul were excluded from their brothers. So here, we are right in the middle of the judgment. Thus, he is clothed with linen and appears as the high priest. Now let's move forward a little in the text of Revelation and try to understand what is revealed to us. Revelation chapter 7, verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. We understand clearly that this character is Jesus. So how do we proceed now? The text of Ezekiel allows us to extend the parallel, and we shall move on by looking at what happens in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 2. En regardant ce qui arrive en Ézéchiel chapitre 10, verset 2. Ézéchiel chapitre 10, verset 2. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. The man clothed with linen goes under the cherubim. In fact, under the cherubim were the coals of fire. Thus, the altar was the altar of incense. So, he takes coal of fire, that is embers, from the altar and throws them upon the city. We find almost the same scene a little further in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 1. I invite you to read this with me. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. You see, there is logical continuation between Ezekiel 9 and Ezekiel 10, between the fact that men are sealed and that coals are thrown upon the city. In the book of Revelation, same thing. Men are sealed in chapter 7 and coals are thrown to the earth in chapter 8. What are the links? Well, these coals recall fire, the fire from heaven. The fire can be destructive, of course, but it is also purifying. The fire is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. No doubt, you remember that at the Pentecost, those who received the Holy Spirit received him in form of tongues of fire that came upon each of them. It also echoes the rain of the Spirit. And both in the book of prophet Ezekiel and in the book of Revelation, reference is made to the Holy Spirit. So you see, we find again the idea we already found in the book of prophet Joel, a rain of Holy Spirit. This group, these 144,000, are those who receive the rain of the Holy Spirit. Now let's proceed and continue our reading in Revelation 7, and let's consider the mentioned list of the 12 tribes that represent the people of Israel at that time. Three lists are being shown on the screen. The first list represents all the sons of Jacob. There are 12. Then you have all the 12 tribes, and you realize that changes have occurred. The son of Levi is no longer a tribe. Why? Because it comes to replace the firstborns, and so is dedicated to the service of the sanctuary. So how do we restore the number 12? Well, the two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons Joseph had in Egypt, were considered by Jacob as his own sons. So there were actually 13 tribes in Israel. The 12 who sat around the tent of meeting, three by three, three north, three south, three east, three west, and the tribe of the Levites who served in the tent of meeting. Then, when we consider the third list given here, the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, we realize that there are still other changes. Let's analyze these main changes. Two names disappear, the name of the tribe of Dan and the name of the tribe of Ephraim. Why do they disappear? I'm just going to read two texts that show us why they disappear. We'll find the first one in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, verses 16 and 17. This is the blessing of Jacob on his children. It is said of Dan, Genesis chapter 49, verses 16 and 17, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path, that bites the horse's heels so that its rider shall fall backward. We must recognize that such a description does not predispose to stay among the people of Israel. Then Dan would do more than that. At one point, Dan, dissatisfied with the territory he was given, searched a territory bordering Israel but outside of Israel. And once he set his sight on this territory, it was like a lion putting everyone to the sword. He did occupy that territory. But this area was outside the territory he was given in the land of Israel. So Dan placed himself out of Israel, excluding himself from the people. Concerning Ephraim, the second tribe, I invite you to look at the reason why he too is not included in this text. We find this in the book of prophet Isaiah chapter 7 verse 17. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 17. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day of Ephraim departed from Judah. Yes, one day Ephraim led 10 tribes away from the tribe of Judah. They formed a kingdom. That's why, for a long time, one talked about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Ephraim being the northern kingdom and Judah the southern kingdom. Thus, he too withdrew himself from the people of Israel. Well, I think this is an indication to tell us that those who will not be among the 144,000 are those who will cut themselves off from Israel, those who will cut themselves off from God's people. Now, if you don't mind, let's move forward. We can ask ourselves, why? Why this number of 144,000? Some take it literally. But I think we need to see something else here. For if these people represent a particular phalanx, host of the elect, why should they be all Jews? And if we want to be quite literal, most of the Jews even today do not know their origin and the tribe from which they are originated. So, I think we should see something symbolical here. And it seems that we can have confirmation of this. Why 144,000? Well, I invite you to read one verse as indication concerning the organization of the people of Israel at that time. We find this in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Moses' stepfather Jethro tells him the following: "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." This was the pyramidal hierarchy in Israel. At the grassroots level, there were rulers, heads of 10, then above, rulers, heads of 50, and two rulers, heads of 50 were gathered with one ruler, head of 100. Above heads, ruler of 100, there were rulers, head of 1,000. Above, of course, the chief of tribes. Therefore, Moses had under his leadership 12 chiefs of tribes. This organization was considered ideal. Jesus himself chose 12 disciples. It was probably the ideal number of people to be trained and prepared for a mission. Considering the tribes, we note an ideal setting. Each head of tribes had 12 rulers head of 1,000 under his command. You understand that in this ideal organization, there have been 12 times 12 heads of 1,000. In other words, 12 times 12,000 people, that is to say, 144,000 people. It seems to me that this figure reflects more perfection. Not only perfection of character, we already talked about, but perfection in the organization in terms of ties among the people themselves. So it seems to me that the figure reflects more closely deep, harmonious ties among these different people rather than being a literal number. So, what to think about this? Characters? Yes. But I think God, considering such nuanced personalities represented by the 12 tribes of Israel, does not decide to format everyone into a single model. Each character has its place. Everyone must develop to its fullest capacity what God has given him in a special way. You see, it is rather the enemy who tends to put us in boxes. But God develops. God aims for progress. God wants us to grow in Him. And He does not want to knock us out. Each character has its place, and it is God who imparts us with different qualities and gifts. But He puts them in such a way that all these characters, all these capacities harmonize. So, isn't this the ideal organization that we should wish for the people of God? Certainly. And it seems to me that we have here some kind of ideal towards which I invite you to aim, not that we are able to manage personally the whole thing. But if we trust God, then we can be sure that He will organize all His people in the most perfect way. This is the reality He invites us to look for and grasp. Thank you.